Hey friend, it's Karen Parker with the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. I'm a mom of three beautiful souls, a lifelong entrepreneur, and intuitive coach. At 52, I realized that I have known all along that everything I needed to become the best version of myself was already inside. I'm bringing all the secrets to you by sharing what I've learned in my experiences over the years. Also, in this podcast, you'll hear tips and wisdom from some of the bravest people I know. You'll hear their stories of how they took their own leap of faith and learned to live their life in complete joy and freedom. Take my hand as you listen and learn how to rise above all your disappointments, all your struggles, and begin to experience your own joy in the journey. Let's go. All righty. Well, today I am super excited to have Stephen Jaggers.
Yes,
absolutely. I am on the podcast as part of our series for men called Dad Bods and Beer Guts, which absolutely has nothing to do with you, but I love the title. And
yeah, it's flashy.
Right. But I had to reach out to Stephen because I was able to experience some of his work back in October of last year. And it was amazing. It was like he hit the nail on the head with a lot of trauma release for me. And so he was a must have on this podcast. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for then. And also thank you. I'm so honored that you would be willing to come on the show and talk to us today.
Absolutely, Karen. This is what I'm very passionate about, and it hits very close to home. So it's my life. I'm living it. And anytime I get to talk about it, I am super thankful. So thanks for having me on your platform, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. So part of this reason why I wanted to do this series for men is because I feel like right now, especially, men of all ages are beginning to open up a little bit. And we're going to kind of circle back around to that because there's different tools that we as women tend to gravitate towards, I feel, at least in my experience, a lot easier or a lot quicker than men have initially in the past. And what I wanted to do first, like I said, we'll circle back around to that. But what I wanted to do first was ask you a little bit about yourself, your story. I know that you grew up in kind of a crazy childhood, but I don't want to put words into this about that. I want you to share a little bit about your past, where you came from, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah, beautiful. I'll keep it a little short so we can jump into the other stuff as well.
But absolutely.
I was raised by two loving parents, and they were, I'm an only child. You know, my dad's from Nebraska. He was born on a farm, cattle farm. He's the youngest of 10 children, which is just insane. And my mom's from Southern California, from Laguna Beach. She's a typical Orange County woman. So I got both sides of the spectrum.
Right.
But anyways, so they met while being pretty into, you know, some hard drugs, methamphetamine mostly. And we'll get into kind of what I have to think about that. You know, I was, for all that I know, I was born a meth baby, meth addict. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think they stopped. You know, I've asked them and they said, you know, they've kind of jumped around, but I don't think they stopped when I was a child. So, you know, from 0 to about 5 to 6 years old, we were living in California, and I don't remember because I think I blocked a lot of it out. But yeah, I was born into, you know, a family of addicts, and, you know, they actually switched their life around. They wanted to make a change and they moved to Arizona and started a new life here and stopped using hard street drugs. And I always knew growing up that something was just off, something was wrong. And later on down the line, you know, they work jobs, and my dad runs a successful company now, and my mom's a hairstylist. But I could see just the underlying mental, emotional aspects to them that were just not well you know, my mom and my dad both started using prescription medications after, you know, those harder drugs and, you know, severe anxiety and depression. And this kind of just growing up, I just knew that there was something wrong. And there was, I saw like every month my mom would be put on a new prescription med. And it would, the same thing would just happen over and over in the same cycle. And I'm like, there's got to be, just in my heart and my soul, I knew there was something else to help them. Fast forward a while, you know, in college, I was very fascinated by psychology just because I knew there was inside of me, I wanted to understand what was going, why my mom, you know, couldn't come to, you know, the school events or why she couldn't be around my friends or why she just mostly stayed in her room all the time. And so I wanted to study psychology. I've always really wondered what makes people tick. And then I was highly into sports and physical activity. So I also studied physical therapy. So I had these two different things that I was trying to figure out which one I was, you know, wanting to go down. And I ended up dropping out of college completely because, for one, psychology was based on the DSM-4 at the time, and that is just categorizing people into different diagnoses. And I didn't resonate with that either. The physical therapy was so just into the books that it couldn't keep my attention. So I ended up dropping out and starting to work a corporate job for a microchip company for a little while as a human resources executive for about 2-3 years, and could see just the corporate environment and how just people hated their lives in this corporate environment as well. And by the time I realized that, they laid me off. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to go back to school, and I found this holistic school a few miles down the road from my house where they taught body work, they taught life coaching, they taught holistic nutrition, yoga, massage. It was like a Hogwarts school for, you know, and I walked in there and I was like, this is what I want. I just felt at home and this is what I wanted to learn. I went to school there, got a degree in holistic healthcare, which is very broad. I studied almost all of the modalities that they offered there. And I went on to, you know, become an assistant teacher there and then eventually a teacher there. And I taught energetic anatomy. I taught kinesiology. I taught the science of emotions and how they're stored in our body. And I just knew that this is what I wanted to learn. I actually could feel like I was getting a grasp of a lot of the underlying issues of why people, you know, cope the way that they do, and, you know, how to deal with trauma at a root stage.
Right.
And, you know, then after teaching there, I went on to live in Sedona for a while. I started to delve into more of the spiritual aspects, and, you know, I wanted to bridge kind of the gap between the scientific aspect around trauma and also the spiritual mm-hmm. understanding of what trauma is and what causes us to have these blockages and act out in ways such as addiction and, you know, all the other coping mechanisms that we really have. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm running my own practice and working, you know, with lots of different people, one-on-one sessions. I run a facilitator training for the breathwork modality that you experience, which I have found incredibly effective in releasing mm-hmm. a lot from our psychosomatic or our mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so good. I, you know, in listening to you, it makes me, you know, the first thing I want to ask is, oh my gosh, how did you, it's almost like there was, and we, because of what we do, we kind of know that there's this like call that we yeah. have, or this agreement before we're even born as to yeah. what we're supposed to be doing. And most people that go into like psychology or the physical therapy, they have to go through the whole thing and then actually put things into practice to figure out if they really are in alignment with that or not. And you've figured that out pretty early on to yeah. know that it really is a whole body approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, and then attaching the spiritual side to it as well. And a lot of people don't even go there. You know, it's all about let's check the boxes and check the list. But if we're not handling what's in between our ears and here, connecting to universe, then you can forget it.
Yeah, our whole system is based off of identifying symptoms and identifying what the symptoms, you know, you figure out all the different symptoms. Okay, you check all of those off. Okay, these symptoms equal that you have this diagnosis and this diagnosis fits in the book. And then the book says to give you this prescription medication or, you know, to follow this protocol. And we're such a complex system that just absolutely does so much injustice. And, you know, my biggest thing is that like symptoms are our friend. Symptoms are a messenger saying that, hey, there's something going on with your body, your mind that really needs you. There's something that needs to change within your day-to-day patterns, or there's something that you need to take a look at. So I don't want to like give something to somebody that's going to shut those symptoms down. I want to figure out why those symptoms are talking in the beginning.
Bring them up, right?
Bring them up, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The doctors are so fast, and there's a place. There's a place for, you know,
there is
medicine, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But myself, having experienced 27 years of chronic pain stemming from several car accidents and all kinds of trauma, I was one of those people that kept getting labels, and 13 different medications at one time because of the symptoms. And so 12 years ago, I'm like, no more, drew a line in the sand and went to work to figure out what actually was going on. And it all stemmed from all the traumatic experiences that I had. So I want to ask you a little, didn't you spend some time in Hawaii?
I spent some time in Hawaii too. I actually finished school and I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do. And I had a buddy out there who was basically like, hey man, I am running this coffee farm right now and I got a place for you to stay. And I really didn't have any responsibilities. It was before I really wanted to delve into my career.
Right.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm going out there. I'm going to go and have this experience. And I really didn't leave home too much before that. So it was an incredible stage of growth for me out there to leave home, to be fully on my own, to be surrounded in beautiful nature, and to also see how another culture, you know, I wasn't in Hawaii, like I was on the Big Island in a very rural area. So I wasn't in this, like, you know, the LA Hawaii.
Right.
I was in farm country and deeply immersed in nature. And it was probably one of the most healing experiences for me, just to disconnect from my home here, people that I surrounded myself with for a long time, and to also just see how life is in a different place.
That's amazing. And I think every child should do that. Both my girls left and were gone for 10 years across the country. Because I'm on the East Coast and they were actually in Kansas City, Missouri for 10 years. They're back now. But we always said, go experience.
Yeah.
Do what your heart and your soul is calling you to do. Talk to me about Sacred Sons.
Okay.
I just want to dive right in because I really want the guys to hear you talk about
them. Absolutely. And before I go into that, I want to preface a little bit about, you know, cause we've thrown around the word trauma a lot and I really want, you know, there's so many like barnacles that are attached to that word that we think trauma, we think of something crazy that happened to us. So, you know, only certain people have trauma, or, you know, there's outliers, but, you know, trauma is not like the thing that happened to you. It's what happens inside of you based on what happened to you. And trauma is subjective. So it really is, you know, something that might not be traumatic to you might be really traumatic to me. Like, you know, maybe I had like a teddy bear taken away from me when I was young, and that caused me to like have this scarcity mindset and someone's always going to take my shit, you know? And then so what happens inside of me is I have this defense system built up around certain things, or, you know, there's sexual trauma where, you know, someone might've gone through a very, you know, sexual traumatic instance when they were young. And then, you know, that caused a part of them to like inside to leave.
Yep.
And so later on down the road, when they're trying to be sexual with their partner or whatever, they're constantly like leaving their body or not able to be fully present. So really what my work has been is to help figure out what the defense system is inside of the body and to help it kind of run its course and complete that feedback loop. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, absolutely. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So Sacred Sons, It's a men's group, a men's work group, which I can get into kind of the definition of that. But within our culture, you know, there is a lack of rite of passage for men specifically. You know, women, their main rite of passage is to give birth.
Right.
That's what makes you a woman. You're a wombed man, you know, your ability to carry life on this, mm-hmm. on this planet and to give birth. And that, you know, you're stepping in from a woman to a mother. You know, we don't necessarily have these rites of passages that switch us from a boy to a man. That's incredibly important. And lots of cultures for long periods of time have held different, you know, rites of passage for mm-hmm. men to separate from their mommies and to separate from their world and to really step into what it actually means to be a man. You know, there's a lot of like toxic masculinity going around and that whole word is being thrown around, but I think it's important to understand what is actually like healthy masculinity and what it actually means to be a man in this world, to be a protector of your community, to be a protector of the women and the children, and to provide and to hold a safe space for our community. And Sacred Sons is a group, an organization that is basically redefining masculinity and helping men feel okay to actually be a man, because there's a lot of feminization that's going on and a lot of, you know, men and women are the same and just really not good things for our psyche as a man. And also like men in our culture are holding on to a lot. Like we've been just had a lot of stuff thrown at us. Like, you know, you're only as good as how much you're worth. You're only as good as how hard you can get. And like, you know, like all of those things. So there is an organization, a group that holds retreats and holds trainings for men to hold like a men's council, a men's circle where men can get together and talk about man shit. That's and also to hold each other accountable and to be able to see each other in a vulnerable space. There's an amazing thing that happens when you get rid of all the women in the group and all of the ego alpha males, the defense systems that come up go down. And it's like, okay, who are you actually as a man? You know, a big thing is that like that I took away from this last group is like, trust isn't given, it's earned. And I can only trust you as a man as much as you've shown me how vulnerable you can get. Can you cry in front of me?
Yeah.
Can you tell me the secrets that you've been hiding from your wife, from your, you know, what happened to you? And you know, there's a lot of aspects that there's a lot of shadow work. Like, what are the aspects that you're holding from the world, for that you're holding from yourself? And it gives men an opportunity to get it off their chest, to get it off their shoulders, to clear it out and really anchor themselves back into what it actually means to be a healthy man and show up for the women, for the other men, for our children. And I think it's absolutely an essential piece of redefining mental and physical health in this world.
I think that is amazing because, you know, for years, and if men were brought up now the way that they were centuries ago, really, you know, they would have that naturally. And so you just don't see it anymore, especially in small conservative communities. You don't see that at all. And if it wasn't passed down from, you know, great grandfather to father to son, you can forget it. And so men these days, you know, I've got a 16-year-old right now. And who does he go to the gun range with? Mom. Who does he cook with? Dad. You know, we each have our own things that we do, but it's just like, I push the two of them to spend more time together. And they have done the stuff that they do is amazing actually right now. And what he's gaining from his father now as a teenager is so much more. And I wish, you know, more sons and dads operated the way that my guys do. But I want to ask about, I want to talk about the nothing box. Let me explain this. So as women, everything is connected. We're always, all of our thoughts, it's like a, like, you know, what is it? Women are from Venus, men are from Mars, you know, and
yeah.
Everything is connected as far as women go. It's hard to separate and compartmentalize. Men very much can compartmentalize. And when we as women were like, what are you thinking about? And they say, nothing. A lot of the times it really is nothing. I feel like it's, I mean, that's a kind of a, and you can tell me if this is true or not. Again, I feel like that can be a defense mechanism, but it also is a safe spot to just be completely devoid or void of any stuff that's going on, because men have a lot of stuff coming to them all the time. We women don't have a nothing box. I wish we did. We have to really work at it through meditation and through practice, and we can eventually get there. But talk to me about that with men and your experience, and then opening up a little bit more from that. Did that make sense at all?
Maybe you could, can you elaborate just a little bit?
Sure. So for instance, when I ask the kid's dad, you know, what are you thinking about? And he's sitting over there staring off into space, and he's really thinking about, he says, nothing. And he may say it with a little bit of a tone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little bit of a nothing. Like, why, stop nagging me. Nothing. We're like, yeah, right. Okay. Well, that tells me that you're thinking about something. A lot of the time, men are really just completely zoned out. They're just watching the game, or they're on their phone, or whatever. There really is a nothing box. As you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at a very core basis, men are doers.
Yeah.
And women are feelers.
Yeah.
And that's just like the patriarchy versus the matriarchy. You know, it's our job for thousands of years has been to go out, get the food, create the shelter, create the safety, the stability. Mm-hmm. And after that, we just want to chill. We don't want to have to think about anything, you know. On a very base level, the women are to, you know, help raise the children and to help stabilize the emotional charge of the group as well too. So there's an aspect of, you know, and we're not doing that anymore. Nowadays, it's like, okay, we're, you know, we're out there trying to make the dollars, and then we just need that time to where we don't have to think about anything. That's just like, and from a masculine point, like, or from masculine feminine energy perspective, like the masculine energy is very rational, logical, thought based. And, you know, the feminine energy is very feeling based, very not needing to make actual rational sense of things. Mm-hmm. So, and also we have a very fix it mentality as well. Like we're, you know, most women come to us with an issue, you know, the first thing that we're thinking about is how can we fix the issue. Most of the time, women don't even want us to actually fix the issue. They just want us to listen. So it's been an interesting thing. And with my partnership, this has been an amazing tool that I use when she's coming to me with whatever shit that she wants to talk about or whatever happened during her day. I'll listen and I'll be like, okay, is this something that you want me to just listen to? Or is this something that where you're actually asking for my advice?
Yeah. Do you need a response, or am I just supposed to listen before you say anything? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been huge, because most of the time she's like, oh, well, actually I don't even need a response. I don't even want to talk to about this to begin with. You know?
So, right. Just let me process my thoughts.
Yeah.
I got to where I was saying, I'm just thinking out loud. Just bear with me. I'm just thinking
yeah.
out loud. Yeah. So with regard to the trauma work that you do, can you talk about maybe briefly some of the different modalities that men tend to go to when they are first searching for help? What is it that I don't want to say trigger, but really gets men to thinking, you know what? All this other crap that I've tried before isn't working. I need help in my marriage. I need help with this job thing because it really sucks. And I want to transition to something that I really want to do, but I keep getting stuck. What is it that makes them want to make the decision to actually look towards something like what you do to help with the release work that you found?
Yeah. Like some of the first things I think are, well, problems with relationship are some of the first things that come up, problems with business and like from point blank, men need a mission. Mm-hmm. They need their mission. They need their purpose. A lot of relationship coaching with men, I find that men, they put women first. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not a good thing because the women want the men to be on their, they are attracted to driven men that are on their mission to create change, to have an impact in a positive way for community. You know, we want to be well-renowned in our community as valuable, as someone that helps, you know, the tribe. So that'll stem into problems with relationship. It'll stem into problems with complacency and not really knowing what, you know, they want to do, or it turns into not feeling healthy in their body. You know, that's a big one with men as far as like feeling strong, feeling good in your body. That, you know, the mind affects the body affects the mind. If you are strong physically, you'll be strong mentally. Mm-hmm. As far as like, you know, the work that I do, there's deeper lying issues that men start to complete the same pattern over and over. They have the same pattern of maybe I lash out at my woman, maybe I lash out at my kids. They don't have a healthy expression for what's that fire that's inside. Figuring out ways to channel that. To one, become clear on your mission. And a lot of the times you're not clear on your mission because you've been holding on to all the shit that you've gone through. Mm-hmm. And you've identified your ego around a lot of the perhaps the traumas, perhaps, you know, a lot of successful people in business, a lot of men that are so driven, especially in business specifically, mm-hmm. are still just trying to make their daddy proud. You know, they want their dad to be proud of them. So what are the underlying driving factors to why they are doing the thing that they're doing? Becoming aware of that, which, you know, through breath work, a lot of that stuff starts to come up. Like, what is my actual driving force to my mission? Am I just trying to make money to make money? Am I just trying to, like, what? We need purpose. We need purpose behind what we're doing. And that is absolutely essential for men and for women. But I think that you can actually find that purpose when you have cleared out a lot of the stuff that's taking up space on your memory card that is your body.
Where would you say that they start first with that? What would be your first go-to?
It really depends on the man because we're always striving for balance. We're always striving, like on a very basic level, our body is striving for homeostasis, for equilibrium, mm-hmm. for balance. So to figure out how to find balance, you need to know where you're at on the scale. And where you're at on the scale takes awareness of where you're actually at. Are you, you know, on this half of the side where you're complacent? Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're low libido. Maybe you just don't have that spark in your essence. Mm-hmm. Or are you on this side of the polarity where you're constantly focused on work, have no time for your family. Just how can I make the next dollar? Burnt out, that you're like totally giving all of your energy towards your work. And then when you come home with your family, you have nothing left for them. Right. So it's like, first of all, you need to identify where you're at on the scale. You have to become aware of it first to actually then find balance within that. So, you know, some of those look like just spending time in nature, spending time alone, spending time around other men. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can start to dive into other practices such as breath work that really will start to bring a lot of things out and start to give you a lot of clarity. Even like, you know, if you're on this side complacent and depressed and all of that, like, are you taking care of your body? Are you like doing any sort of strength training, any sort of physical activity on a base level? On this side, are you like resting? Are you taking time off? Are you, you know, spending that internal time to actually see if what your driving force is actually behind your actual mission and your goals for your, what I would call is your soul's purpose during this lifetime, because we all come into this world with a very specific soul longing purpose, the thing that we want to accomplish during this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that is just so good. And what I hope it does is it gets men to be thinking, because I feel that women are really quick to dive into trying anything and everything.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, in my experience, men tend to go get physical first. You know, they tend, I'm going to work out. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go for a run. They want to sweat it out. How important is that to moving energy through your body? The movement part.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's been one of the most, for men, we need it. We need hard things. We strive to overcome hard things. And if we're not, then we're not growing. We need, whether it's like lifting heavy weights or, you know, or fixing complex issues and problems, we need that. That's what we thrive off of. So that is absolutely essential. And, you know, once you start to get the body right, then you can start to you can start on either side. You can start with the spiritual aspect and really connecting to your own spirit and your own source energy, and then working your way into feeling good in your body. Or you can start with like feeling really good in your body and then starting to tune into the essence that's actually beating your heart. You know, what is that essence that's actually beating your heart? You can start on either side of the spectrum and you're going to have to go to the other side.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, if you're really in it for growth, and you will eventually have to assess your whole persona on a holistic level. You'll have to see the whole picture.
Right, right. Talk to me about, paint a picture of what the best possible case scenario is for a man who actually steps into this and actually goes deep. They do the work. They are working with someone and they're really doing the work. What is the best possible case scenario?
That you are living from a place where you could die tomorrow and you feel completely fine with that. You have lived your purpose. You know, hoka hey is the saying, that it's like, today is a good day to die. I've lived my life fully in line with my purpose. I've lived my life from my heart. I've shared it with everybody. I haven't held anything back with inside of me. You know, I've helped people. I've helped my community. I've helped my family. I've practiced my art form. I've lived to the fullest of my expression. And if tomorrow was my day, I'm okay to die.
Yes. So good. So, so good. I want to wrap this up because I don't want to keep you too long. And all of the little nuggets that you've dropped along the way, when you live in, is it Phoenix?
I live in Phoenix at the moment. Yes.
At the moment. Are you moving to Sedona?
There is a potential chance I'll be here probably for another 6 months or so. And then I'm currently looking for a house up there. So
nice.
Phoenix is where my family and my partner lives. So uh-huh. I'm here for the time being. I'm frequently in Sedona. That's been my home. I lived there for about 4 or 5 years too. So we're only 2 hours apart and I'm back and forth quite a bit.
That's awesome. When people come to Phoenix, Scottsdale, that whole area, do you travel to them or do they travel to you for working with you one-on-one?
For working with me one-on-one, I prefer for them to come to my place. Mm-hmm. I also do events, I do groups, and that I'm fine to travel to and work with the event or whatever group, whatever retreat or whatever's going on. I will cultivate a ceremony or an activity around whatever is whatever they're looking for. But one-on-one sessions, I like for them to come to my space. This is kind of my sanctuary, and how I've set it up is absolutely essential to holding the container for someone to actually be able to go to those places and for me to actually like really get the really pull it out of them, you know?
Yeah, I am freaking excited because come April, I am bringing a small group of women up to Sedona for an event, and super excited because you've agreed to come and take us through some things, and the thing that we're going to be doing is all going to be secret till we get there. So I don't want to spill the beans on that, but for anybody that's listening in, but I'm excited about that. I want to wrap it up by asking you some rapid fire questions. Sound
good?
Let's
go.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
First thing, of course, you might hear this quite a bit. If you could live anywhere in the world other than the USA, where would you live?
The first place that's come up is Costa Rica.
You're about the fourth or fifth person that has said that. I love it.
Yeah. I got some friends there.
Yeah, cool. The best experience that you've ever had?
Oh, recently, I just led a somatic release facilitator training for other practitioners. You know, I had a CPA in there. I had a PGA golf trainer in there. Wow. I had a social worker. I had another psychologist in there. I had two other body workers and a yoga teacher. And I have been running this training for them. At the end of it, we held a big group session for about 40 people. And it was a breathwork session for about 40 people. And I had all of those practitioners behind me helping me. It was just the state that I was in that I, taught these people, and they got to see the incredible shifts that all 40 people in that building went through, and to really have the feeling of I'm doing my life's work, and I'm teaching, and I'm making a difference, and that was probably one of the best experiences I've had.
And having them behind you as a collective energy was probably.
Yeah.
Incredibly powerful with that as well.
Oh yeah. And yeah. Absolutely. And having them there is learning from me and learning and being able to share my art form with other people and them, and just knowing that they're going to take it out to other people. And then, those people might take it, it's just like, it's the web that sprawls outward.
And you're getting ready to do an online course with that as well.
I am. Yeah.
I'm excited about that because I think I mentioned before that I really want to do that.
Absolutely. That'll be probably out towards quarter two of this year. And I'm really excited for that too. I really am putting a lot into it because I think that there's a lot of aspects that need to be learned in person, mm-hmm. but I'm really trying to put my heart and soul into it to make it where I feel like I can teach it from a place of integrity through Zoom. So it'll come out soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm all about coming in person for whatever I need to do. So just putting that out there. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your number one go-to for fun?
Go-to for fun. I have quite a few of them. Lately, I've been playing pickleball.
You and Drew, right?
Me and Drew, we've been playing pickleball, and also me and Danny, my girlfriend,
yeah.
We've been playing pickleball a lot, and it's been so fun. I recently bought a mountain bike as well, too. I love mountain biking, and I love the anything that's going to just get me into my body where I can't think about anything else, and I'm fully immersed in that moment. You know, I'm partially an adrenaline junkie as well too. So
fun. I hope to meet her when I come out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can chat more about that later.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Who has had the most impact on you as an adult?
There's been a few mentors in my life that have had an incredible impact, Drew being one of them. Drew Cannoli has been an absolute amazing friend, mentor, and resource, and has coached me and guided me and really taken me in as a little brother, and has helped me in so many ways. Anahata Ananda, who lives in Sedona as well. She's a great friend and a great mentor, and has, you know, we've traded, and, you know, she comes to me for my tools, and I come to her for her tools, and she's helped me grow and expand quite a bit.
That's amazing. Those
would be the two mentors. My girl Danny is, you know, the relationship is always the container for growth, and, you know, will always show you things that you haven't been looking at. So I learn a ton from that as well.
That's amazing. What is your best memory from childhood?
Best memory from childhood is when I was, my grandfather retired in Mexico. He was a fisherman. I remember being on his boat with me and my dad and him fishing, and my dad actually reeling in like a marlin.
Oh, nice.
And I was pretty young, and I was really scared, but it was cool to have three generations of men together out in nature, and that's probably one of my favorite memories from childhood.
You'll have to come here in June and experience the marlin tournament. It's the big rock tournament. The winner last year, I want to say, was over 900 pounds. So they do that every year. Big boats come in from all over and go out, and it's just amazing to watch when they come in and weigh them and everything. It's really cool.
Last question.
What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I am looking forward to, I actually have a naturopathic doctor appointment. And I just got a ton of different blood work done, and, you know, just trying to, you know, I'm helping so many other people, and I'm trying to maintain my health as much as possible. You know, you got to put your mask on you, your air mask on you first before you can help others, you know? So I got a bunch of blood work done. She's going to go through everything, and I'm going to figure out what nutrients I'm deficient in and where I can, you know, just give myself some more love and some nutrients and vitamins and minerals and stuff. So
good. I have thoroughly enjoyed this and just pulling out little pieces here. I'm sure that we could actually like talk forever because I've got like all of these questions, but I'll look forward to getting to know you more throughout the rest of our lives. But
yeah, absolutely.
Tell everybody where they can find you and how they can work with you.
Yeah, so I'm most active on social media, Instagram. My handle is Jaggers. That's Jaggers Jr. Jaggers Jr. J-A-G-G-E-R-S Jr. Also, my website is steven-jaggers.com. You can book sessions. You can reach out to me on Instagram mostly if that's what you're using, and shoot me a message. I try to make myself pretty available, and I, you know, this is what I love doing. So I love talking to people, and you can reach out to me there. You can schedule appointments, sessions on my website. I also have a podcast as well. It is Mind Body Mentor Podcast. Lots of great conversations and great free resources on there as well.
Yeah, I've listened to some of them. They're really good. They're great.
Awesome.
They're great. Well, I just want to say thanks again. Again, I'm honored. I can't wait to see you in April and hear more about this online facilitator training.
Yeah, I'd love to have you in it. Thank you so much, Karen. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope it inspired you to take action in your life and know that you are a gift to this world just as much as anyone. For more information on how you can work with me or get other resources and materials, head over to my website at www.karenparker.com. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Karen Parker Living Well. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would be such an honor for you to share it with someone you think would love it. Also, it would mean the world to me, and I would be forever grateful if you would just take a minute to leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. Tell me your thoughts and comment on what you gained from this episode. It will help me as I want to bring you value and contribute to what helps you grow and have joy in your pursuit of living well.